Hello, I am Farha Khan. This is Prof Talk. Kindergarten has been stirring up much discussion lately. Up to half of BC children started full-day kindergarten this past September, something very new to our province. And by 2011, all boards of education in BC will be required to offer it. Dr. Marilyn Chapman is the lead author of the new guide for full-day kindergarten. Today, live in the CITR studio, I have the pleasure to speak with her about this new transition that will soon be affecting every young five-year-old in the province. Dr. Chapman is currently the director of the Institute for Early Childhood Education and Research in UBC's Faculty of Education. But first, let's listen to an audio clip of our Minister of Education, Margaret McDermott, welcoming the class of 2023.
This is the first day of full-day kindergarten in BC, and we're in this beautiful class in Walton Elementary in Coquitlam, full of equipment from Natural Pod, which is lovely wooden toys, and you can see the kids are just having a wonderful time. This is a play-based learning program where the children actually get to choose how they're going to learn, and they'll have a full day to do that. I've spoken with the teacher, and she's really excited about the learning opportunities that will be here.
Many of the children here have been coming to Strong Start, becoming used to the school system, having quality early childhood experiences if they're not already in childcare, and the opportunities that they're going to have in full-day kindergarten to really develop critical learning skills, develop their social-emotional skills, their physical skills, will really bode very well in the future.
We know with full-day kindergarten that these students are more likely to go on to post-secondary education and actually graduate from it. They have smoother transitions to grade one, and they have a better chance of really succeeding and thriving in our education system. So we're very excited about the investment, $280 million over 3 years, as well as $144 million for new school space for these students.
Marilyn, welcome to Prof Talk.
Hi, Farah. Nice to be here.
Now, discussions around full-day kindergarten have surfaced for many years, but when did the ball really start rolling to make it happen?
Well, about 3 years ago, actually, the province of Ontario introduced full-day kindergarten, the first province in Canada to do so. So this is something that's relatively new for Canada, although it is something that does occur in other places, in Europe, for instance. In many European countries, they actually have early learning programs from infancy right until the time that children enter school, and it's just part of what they've been doing for a long time. So what happened in Ontario was that there was a number of studies done on child development and looking at issues such as predictors of success in school, and one of the clear predictors was that when children were in quality preschool programs, and that's something to be really emphasized, is that a really good quality program before school, that children got off to a good start, they were more comfortable emotionally, socially, academically, they did well. And so Ontario made the commitment to implement full-day kindergarten for five-year-olds. They also chose to implement half-day pre-kindergarten for four-year-old children in British Columbia. So it was actually Ontario that set the lead. And, of course, all of the provinces in Canada share information, share the research, and so on. And so the Minister of Education in British Columbia also took the opportunity to look at the research. They developed in 2009 something called the Early Learning Framework. Uh-huh. And so that was to set some guidelines and parameters, bringing what we know from research into early childhood education practices for 3 and 4 year old children. And at the same time that they were doing that, they were looking at the research on full-day kindergarten. So it was a decision that was made based on the research. The downfall, I think, for the province was that we did happen to plan to implement this and then the economy turned. Otherwise, I think perhaps we would have seen full-day kindergarten for all children at the same time. But the decision was that it was so important. There is so much research that shows that the money that you spend on children before they go to school, really, from an economic point of view, is one of the best investments you can make. So children who are in quality pre-kindergarten and full-day kindergarten programs, there's less delinquency, less abuse of drugs, alcohol, delinquency, going to jail, those sorts of things. So it was a decision that was made based on what was best for children and also what's best for society. Now, we've actually had full-day kindergarten for some time for select groups of children. Children who speak English as a second language, children who were identified as having some form of disability, either physical disability or learning disability, and our Aboriginal children have had access to full-day kindergarten for some time. So what this has done actually is, it's really an equity issue, is it's provided access for all children to have full-day kindergarten. And the decision was made to implement half of the classes this September, and then the other half of the children next September. Now, it's important to realize that it is mandatory for the school districts to offer full-day kindergarten, but kindergarten is not mandatory in itself. In fact, a lot of people have said, well, I don't want my child going to kindergarten for full day. Parents do have that right.
Oh, okay.
In fact, you don't have to send your child to school until they're seven. And even then, you don't actually have to send your child to school. It is really important that the province is able to track children who are not attending school for child protection as much as anything else. So if parents do decide that they want their children to be homeschooled, they must register their child with the local school by the time the child is 7 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
That also gives the parent access to all of the teaching resources that they can use for their homeschooling as well. So, you know, there is a small group of people, and I think that group is actually quite small, who really don't want to send their children full day at age five. And so it's important to know that they do have that option.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are the lead author of the new guide for full-day kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this intended for? And can you maybe tell us about it, the content, but really who is it for?
Well, the thing is that because when you move to something like full-day kindergarten, we suddenly are going to have a lot more kindergarten teachers teaching. And of course, it'll be more kindergarten teachers next year. So in order to staff those kindergarten classrooms, we need to draw on the people who are currently teaching kindergarten, and also people who may be teaching other grades, perhaps grade one or two, and also beginning student teachers, people who've, they're not student teachers anymore, but newly certified teachers. So the shift to a full-day kindergarten, the guide was designed both for the people already teaching kindergarten and moving to half-day, but also for these new groups of teachers who haven't at this point been teaching kindergarten.
Okay, and so what is this guide about? What is in it? What are the chapters that are in the guide?
Well, the one of the things too, just to give you a little bit of my background, I've been involved in working with the Minister of Education on various projects. Well, I think this is the third decade of doing that. We have something called the BC Primary Program, which encompasses kindergarten. It's a framework for teaching kindergarten through grade three. And the very first primary program guide actually was developed in 1989, and I was on that initial team. And then I was asked to be the lead author of the revision of that program, and it came out in 2000. So in both the framework documents for the primary program and the kindergarten guide, the focus has been on taking the best of what we know from research and using research to guide our practice. So in the program guide for full-day kindergarten, the research is summarized, and certainly there are lots of references for people who want to go to the original articles. But looking at the directions that the research suggests, and looking at the research very broadly, not just, you know, experimental studies or a small group of studies from a small group of people who have developed a program to say this is the way you do it, but to look really overall at a variety of approaches and programs and what we know about child development, all of the new research on brain development, those kinds of things. And then what my job really has been in writing these documents, and also in the courses I teach at UBC, is to help teachers make connections between research and practice. So we're guiding our practice on what we know from research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so can you give us an example of what a full day kindergarten, day would look like?
What the day would look like.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things with, just to backtrack a little bit with the half day kindergarten, to sort of situate this in terms of the change, is that in a half day kindergarten program, the children go to school for 2.5 hours. Now, if you've been around 5-year-olds, and of course some of the children are still 4 when they're starting kindergarten, you know that they can't really be hurried through things. In fact, if you try to hurry little children, it often takes longer than if you are patient. And so what tended to happen was that because we do have curriculum for kindergarten that is prescribed, some teachers felt very pressured to meet those learning outcomes. And so there was a feeling quite often of being hurried, that, you know, the children have to hurry up and do this and hurry up and do that. And teachers that I have talked to with half-day kindergarten have often said, you know, the children are really excited in this project that we're doing, but we have to move on because, you know, we've got other topics we have to cover in science and social studies and so on. So what the full-day kindergarten does is it provides us the time to spend with children, to give them more individual attention, to really honor their learning styles, which young children learn through play, which is not the quickest way to learn, but it's the way that sticks. It's the lasting learning occurs through play. So one of the things that you will see when you go into a full-day kindergarten classroom is you will see less pressure. There's more of a feeling of being relaxed. I'm not talking about just being laid back and just all hang out, but opportunities for teachers to take the time to have a conversation with the child around what they're doing in a project or what they're thinking about as they're engaging in their block play. There's time for transition. So at the beginning of the school day, instead of the teacher who has 2.5 hours, remember, and that includes the time to hang up your coats, put your stuff away, going to the bathroom, getting out your snack, putting things away, and all of these sorts of things, is that there's a flexible time for transition at the beginning of the day. So the children, rather than having to sort of come in and immediately put their stuff away and go to circle time, there's an opportunity for them to engage in some free exploration and play. That gives the teacher and the parent or the caregiver who's brought the child to school an opportunity to have a little chat. Sometimes parents need, the caregiver needs to say something about, you know, what happened this morning, or so, you know, the child's not feeling very well, those kinds of things. So just the really quality time. What the full day kindergarten has done is given us a gift of time, so that time can be spent with children and to be able to focus on their needs. So children will be able to have this gentle transition into the day, and then the teacher will probably bring the children together for circle time, whether it be some sort of a shared activity. And then before the children go off to small group activities, you will see a lot more small group activity rather than the teacher having to do everything with all of the children at the same time, which teachers needed to do because they didn't have much time, so they had to do much more whole group work. So you see a lot more of children going on to different activities, small groups, time for the teacher to talk with the children before they go to a particular learning activity to say, so what is it that you're planning to do today when you go to that center? And have you got some ideas? And so being able to let the children go a few at a time when they know what they're going to do, and then the teacher will spend a lot of time circulating while the children are at play, having conversations with them, maybe making some suggestions about, well, what are you doing there? And it keeps falling over. Well, what if you try something else? Or what would happen if you put these blocks over here? Would that help? So those lovely, it's almost like what I think about, and I'm a grandparent of 7 children.
Oh my goodness.
The time that grandparents will take with little ones where, you know, when we're a mom or a dad, we're often, you know, trying to get the groceries done, cook dinner, do the laundry. And then it's the grandparent who really is able to dwell in that time. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, that feeling of being able to just listen to the child, make the eye contact, hear what they're saying, work with them in small groups one-on-one, you're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see a lot of play-based learning. You're not going to see children sitting in desks, doing worksheets, doing printing. It's not about hurrying through and sort of introducing the kinds of activities that would be more appropriate for older children into the kindergarten. So I think it really reflects what you saw in the video with Margaret McDermott, who has been a very strong proponent of full-day kindergarten, it's going to be a wonderful place for children. And it's not going to be a place that parents should be worried about their child being there all day. Mm-hmm. If anybody's going to be really tired at the end of the day, it's more likely to be the teacher.
Right.
Because there'll be a rise and flow of activities, outside play, inside play, block play, dramatic play, project work. If you're learning about water and buoyancy, find out which things sink and which float, and those kinds of things. Lots of hands-on science.
And I think that kind of transition, it would be really beneficial to children that were not in a preschool or a daycare environment prior to starting kindergarten.
That's right.
Just to help that group of children.
That's right. Another big concern that we have with kindergarten, too, with young children, is that we know that social-emotional learning, being able to understand your feelings and to be able to regulate your emotions in order to get along well with other children and learn how to play, to take turns, to put your own things away, not take things that belong to other people, to share what's there. All of those things are really important parts of kindergarten. There was a very famous book written quite a long time ago about everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten. And just that business of getting along with other children, getting to know yourself. When there's less pressure to get through things, there's more time for children to engage in those playful kinds of experiences. Mm-hmm. And the research does show that children who have full-day kindergarten programs are able to show their feelings appropriately. There's less aggression. They're more independent. They're also more collaborative. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that social-emotional learning that goes on as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the audio clip, before we began to talk, we heard the Minister of Education say that children enrolled in full-day kindergarten have increased chances of going to post-secondary education following, you know, in the years following. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
Yes, and it's an interesting thing, and it comes down to actually a few really key things. One of the things that we know is that it's the quality of the pre-primary experience, the quality of the time, that is so important. And we know that children who come from homes where the parents are educated, where there aren't worries about money and those kinds of pressures, that those parents engage in certain kinds of conversations with their children that are very, very similar to the kinds of conversations that we have in school. That's no surprise, because teachers come from that kind of a background. They're educated and so on. And so what happens is that this kind of dialogic talk that goes on, where the child will say something, the parent will build on the child's idea, there's a real conversation that goes back and forth. That's a really key thing. That develops not only children's language, but it also develops their thinking processes, and it develops their knowledge of the world around them. Mm. Now, these are all really key things for doing well in school and being successful in life. And so one of the things that we know from the full-day kindergarten is that because we have the time to do this, to engage in these kinds of conversations, to point things out to children, to find books that also have some information in them, to develop their literacy skills, not just in terms of learning the alphabet, but to learn that if I can say something, mm-hmm. someone can write it. If it's written, someone else can read it. That our world is saturated with print and the signs around us and the labels on things, the directions, the TV guide. And so children develop this wonderful, what we would call meta-literate knowledge. And this is the kind of thing that happens in a highly educated home. And so the children who don't have access to those kinds of experiences, either in their home or in a preschool program or a really good daycare where the people in the daycare working there are registered and have early childhood backgrounds, then they will have this opportunity in kindergarten. So it's the quality mm-hmm. of the experience that's really important. And so with full day, we've got time to do those things, whereas we don't really have that time in a half-day program.
Now, I'd like to talk about your role as the director of this Institute for Early Childhood Education and Research at UBC, and your team that you work with, as well as the many students that are involved in the many programs. Can
yes.
you tell us about
yes.
it?
Yes. Well, we have a lot of students in our program. The Institute for Early Childhood Education and Research is two things. One of the things it is it's a research institute that brings together people from not only the Faculty of Education, but also people from outside the Faculty of Education who are interested in research with young children. So it provides opportunities for researchers with like minds and like similar interests to work together. Another thing that it is it also is the organizing body for the program area of early childhood education at UBC. And last year, the Institute also took over the infant development and supported child development program. So we now organize and oversee, as director I oversee, all of the programs from preparing people at the certificate level to work with infants in infant development and supported child development. That's typically for children who have learning disabilities or physical disabilities, communication disorders, those kinds of things. So we have those certificate programs. We don't actually provide programs to train early childhood teachers. Those are considered basic programs that are offered through the colleges, like Douglas Colleges and Kwantlen and Langara and Capilano University. So we have these post-basic certificates. We have certificates in early learning. So that's for people wanting to work with 3 and 4 year olds. We have certificate programs for kindergarten and for primary. And the certificate programs are sort of bundles of 5 courses with some core and electives that give people some additional coursework and experience post, say, Bachelor of Education or another area. Because the people who take our courses are not just people who are teaching in the school system. Mm-hmm. Some of them come from child and youth care or from nursing. So it really, we cover a range of affiliated fields besides education. We also have diploma programs that are post-bachelor for the most part, although people who do have programs in early childhood from the colleges can do the diploma programs without completing a degree. The teacher education program is not run through our office. It's run by the Associate Dean for Teacher Education, but we work collaboratively with them because we have specializations in kindergarten and primary. And we also have graduate programs at the master's level. So we have an MA program and a master's in education program. Altogether, right now, we have over 100 master's students in either on-campus or off-campus master's programs. We have many more that are these people that I mentioned who don't have early childhood backgrounds, who are wanting to learn more about kindergarten so that they can work in kindergarten in a really child developmentally appropriate way. Mm-hmm. So this, I could see what was coming, that the program was going to come in. And so we were quite strategic in getting everything ready. We have actually almost all of our courses can be taken online, so okay. People don't have to come to Vancouver.
Okay.
Although they can take courses on campus if they wish.
Yes.
We're currently developing an online master's in education, early childhood education.
Really?
So, yes, we offer a lot, and we've got wonderful people teaching those courses. We've got wonderful full-time faculty who are supporting the development and involved with the development and overseeing the teaching of these courses.
Now, if prospective students want to enroll in one of the mini programs you mentioned, do they just need to go to your website?
Yes, we've tried to update our website and make it as clear as possible. If they go to the Early Childhood Education website, it's actually not that easy to find from the Faculty of Education website. Unfortunately, we are actually a unit that is underneath another unit that is called the Center for Cross-Faculty Inquiry. And so if people go to the UBC Faculty of Education homepage, look at academic units, look for the Center for Cross-Faculty Inquiry, they will be able to find the program information there.
And then you also have a website, earlychildhood.educ.ubc.ca as well.
That's the direct link.
That's
the direct link. And, of course, if you go to the UBC directory and Google on there, you would find us as well.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Marilyn, for joining us this afternoon. It's been a great pleasure.
Well, thank you. I actually, as I said, I had 7 grandchildren. I had 2 of them that started half-day kindergarten this year. Both of their mothers were not too excited. They really wanted full day. I've taught for a long time and been involved with early childhood education for a long time, so it's been just a real delight for me to be involved with writing the full day K guide and also to be involved with our programs at UBC.
It's wonderful work.
Thank you.
Thank you. You are listening to Prof Talk on UBC CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver and via live web streaming on CITR.ca. I've just been speaking with Dr. Marilyn Chapman, who is the director of the Institute for Early Childhood Education and Research in UBC's Faculty of Education. If you didn't hear the website the first time, you can find out more about her research as well as the many programs that they offer at earlychildhood.educ.ubc.ca. In 2 weeks' time, I will speak with instructor Corey Howard, who is an award-winning journalist. She's currently teaching a very unique course on writing on motherhood, offered through UBC's Continuing Studies. She's also the founder of the Mumwar Project, a unique website that publishes the stories of mothers from across the country. If you'd like to hear a podcast of the show or any previous episode of Prof Talk, you can visit CITR.ca. And please do check out our blog at ubcproftalk.blogspot.com. I am Farah Khan. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye for now.
So I talk a lot, don't I?
Phone. I've got this feeling so